Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 217, the four stanzas. Remember not, O God, the sins of long ago. In tender mercy visit us, distressed and humbled low. And what follows, 217, the four stanzas.
Thank you.
the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Matthew 18, the verses 21 through 35. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Matthew 18, beginning with verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him, till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors until he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. Lord, the Creator and the Upholder of the heavens and of the earth, Thou who sittest on Thy throne in majesty and glory, surrounded by the angels, the souls of the deceased saints, and yet Thou who lookest down upon this earth to behold the children of men, where Thou seest and knowest everything, tis written in Thy word, that the hairs of our head are numbered, and that a sparrow shall not fall to the ground without Thy will. Then Thou knowest, then Thou seest everything, a comfort for Thy church, and a tear for the wicked. Then Thou also seest us and our children sit in Thy house, and the greatest part in their dwellings. And may that be our burden, our sin, and our guilt. Then Thou also knowest how that each and every one has come up to Thy house, Lord, when it is form and duty. Thou also knowest and seest all our sins and our transgressions, our lukewarmness, our listlessness, our ingratitude. It is all as an open book before Thee. And then it is so necessary that we are pardoned of all of our sins. We can never pay that debt ourselves. That is only possible through the finished meritorial work of Thy Son in the state of His humiliation, where He has cried out, "It is finished," and where Thou granteth that pardoning in the state of exaltation by the work of the Holy Spirit. Lord, may there have souls come up with a debt, with their sins, by the first time also by renewal, and with the prayer unto Thee, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner, Lord, that wonder may still be proclaimed amongst us and our children, that there is pardon for the greatest, for the blackest, and for the chiefest of sinners. It shall not forever be, tis proffered in the day of grace. And to that end, Lord, we humbly beg of Thee that Thou may richly dwell amongst us. Come down with Thy Spirit. And for those, there are so many among young and old that know it so well with their mind. They have heard it oftentimes, hopefully. There have been times that they have even been troubled, but who can still continue on life's pathway with all their sins and transgressions, Lord? Wilt Thou uncovered hold the mirror of Thy holy law before them? Wilt Thou send a letter of guilt home that they may become a poor, a needy sinner, that needs to be pardoned. Ah, when that worketh, and then we learn that that sin causes separation, which is worse than death. And Lord, where thou hast begun that good work, ah, then thou hast a people that is given so hardly to confess all their sins, public, private, first, second table, thoughts, words, and deeds. They are so many, but thou hast a people by that further uncovering who learned that their debt is only becoming greater, and when thou leadeth deeper also their original sin, and yet that separation they cannot bear. Ah, Lord, wilt thou lead them to the cross, that they may behold that precious surety, who was paid it, oh, who was willing to take the heavily high debt of his children upon him, and who has paid it perfectly. And Lord, in the life of thy children, oh, when that life may be tender, when it may be close, oh, when they may have that dependent life, then they fear that fatherly displeasure, because of their sins falling into temptation, then they experience that there is not opening at the throne of grace. And to that end, how necessary for each and every one of us, day by day, during the night, to pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, Lord. Work those wonderful things amongst us and our children. How terrible, how awful it shall be if we are found at the end of her life, when thou sendest the angel of death, and when we are called upon to meet our Maker with that unpaid, with that heavily high debt, and then to be sent to that bottomless pit where it shall never be proclaimed that it is possible to be forgiven. Ah, Lord, bind those divine realities upon the hearts of us and our children in these solemn times. May it please thee to do a great work amongst us. Thou hast promised to work from generation to generation. Oh, it is written, they shall fear thee as long as the sun and the moon endure. Then thou yet granteth the moon to reflect the light of the sun, then that sun may still rise and go down from day to day. Lord, bless the manifold means of grace in the church on the Lord's Day during the week. Bless the instruction to our children, the catechism classes, the confession of faith class. Wilt thou remember and help fathers and mothers with the instruction of their children? Wilt thou continue to be mindful of our Christian school, grand traveling mercies? Remember all those that may labor therein, a grand blessing upon the opening of thy holy word. Then by renewal, then we remember the many outward needs. Wilt thou continue to provide for the daily bread in the midst of the family circles? And may there be times that we may be given to see thy special hand, and that we may be humbled thereunder. And then by renewal, then we commend unto thee all the mourning ones, the elderly ones, and the sick and afflicted ones, the crosses and the burdens, the family circles, a wealth of grant that love may abound, and when it is not so, a wealth of yet grant it while it can yet, and while it may yet what has been separated, a wealth of bring it together, a wealth of remember the handicapped ones, the daughter that may return from the hospital, remember her together with her family, with all other ones, a wealth of remember prodigal sons and prodigal daughters, those that have left us, that have turned their backs upon the truth, but all, Lord, may they come to themselves, and then they shall return as that prodigal son of old. We remember the nations of the earth in the midst of all the distress and the turmoil, and when there is not an acknowledging of thee, then there are so many fears. Lord, remember our country, those in high authority, will yet give a bowing under the authority of thy word and a turning to the same, with an acknowledgement that thou art the supreme ruler in the heavens and upon the earth, and that it is because of our sins that we have left thy word and thy testimony, that these things have come upon us, Lord. May we be given to see thy hand therein. And then the prophet of old has declared that thou wert waiting to be gracious, waiting for thy church to repent from their evil and worldly ways and follow hard after thee. Oh, wilt thou grant it unto us and our children, may it please thee to use the Collins, that thy church may be gathered in. We commend unto thee the hospitals, all institutions of mercy, all those that are sick and afflicted. It is a blessing that thou wast given unto man much knowledge, although, alas, it is also misused. But it is a greater privilege and blessing when we do not need to be in those places. We commend unto thee doctors, nurses, those that work in hospitals. Remember all those that work in the emergency field, many times under distressing circumstances. Wilt thou remember and uphold them. Lord, be mindful of us in this evening hour. Anoint us with fresh oil from above. May thou grant a little joy in the Master's service. May we be given to speak as a dying man to a dying people. Oh, impress it upon all our hearts, that there shall be a last time when we may sit in thy house under thy word, and then it shall be eternity. Then thy word needs to be blessed to our eternal salvation, Lord. May it please thee in this evening hour to take away everything that could be a hindrance. Help the little boys and the little girls. Ah, thou only needeth one word. But, ah, Lord, what the children need. They do not have so many cares as the older ones. For the older ones, may the cares of the world, may they be laid aside, and may they be given to hear the words of the living God. Wilt thou bind the Satan? Lord, remember us in thy mercy and in thy compassion. Look down upon us in the sun of thine eternal love. Ah, we have no rights. We have no merit. Our sins are great and manifold. And therefore may we be given to humbly beg thee. Ah, that is our only hope and our only expectation. The multitude of thy tender mercies, that thou may remember us for body and for soul, for time and for eternity, give then a good, a special hour in thy courts. Forgive us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 140, the four stanzas. God be merciful to me. On thy grace I rest my plea. A plenteous in compassion thou, a blot out my transgressions now, and what follows. Psalter 140, the four stanzas. in this evening hour, with the Lord's help. Then we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 51, question and answer 126, which is the fifth petition. Answer and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That is, be pleased, for the sake of Christ's blood, and not to impute to us, poor sinners, our transgressions, nor that depravity which always cleaves to us, even as we feel this evidence of thy grace in us, that it is our firm resolution from the heart to forgive our neighbor. Lord's Day number 51 speaks of the fifth petition, forgive us our debts. And then with four thoughts, in the first place, a significant connection. In the second place, a sorrowful confession. In the third place, the meritorious blood. And in the fourth place, the genuine evidence. The fifth petition, forgive us our debts. A significant connection, a sorrowful confession, the meritorious blood, and the genuine evidence. A beloved congregation, in this evening hour, then we may consider the fifth petition. And in the fifth petition, that begins differently than the first four. Maybe children, maybe you know the difference. Then I shall mention them, and then maybe you can hear the different way that the fifth petition begins from the first four. Then it is, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts. Have you heard it, boys and girls? How that petition begins differently from the first four, because the fifth, that begins with that little word, and that is a conjunction, that is a conjoining word. Think of the disciples when it says, Peter and Andrew, two brothers, they belong together. Then that word and that connects. Thus in this petition, that first little word in this petition, that is so much instruction, and it is also for uncovering and for our examination. Because how many prayers after the first petition, the fourth petition, give us this day our daily bread. And then there is a period. And then there is not an end. Oh, it is true. We have been taught to pray for the forgiveness of sins, and also a petition for God's glory for the coming of his kingdom. Maybe, congregation, we even add those petitions that we hope that the Lord is a little pleased with the fourth petition, and that we may receive what we have asked for our daily life. But now that word "and," that tells us that we must not remain with the temporal things. Not that they are not important, the cares of this life, they can be so manifold. As fathers and mothers, as the sick and afflicted, the trials and the troubles. But when we read in this petition that word "and," that tells us that we must not remain with the temporal things, because Christ, he has said in Matthew 16, verse 26, "For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his never dying soul?" And therefore the necessity, it is necessary that we are taught by the Spirit, because that word "and," that refers to the need of our never dying soul. Concerning that word "and," think of Haman. You know, boys and girls, that he was invited to that banquet to be with King Ahasuerus and with Esther the queen. But there was a gallows in that city where he would soon hang. And then what would it profit Haman, the most delicious meal, when he would soon be hung? Maybe, boys and girls, maybe your father and parents at the moment, they have a pig, a sheep, or a calf that is for the freezer. And then many times such an animal that even receives extra, that it may grow well, that it may gain, that your mother's freezer may be filled. Is that ever our fear, that with all the temporal blessings which the Lord grants unto us and our children so freely, so liberally, that it shall all have to testify against us and forgive us our debts, when it is right? And alas, then God's children, when we hear these explanations, then they have many reasons to be ashamed. But in the life of a child of God, when there may be that close life, when there may be that tender life, and when there is unrepented sin, then many a times when they may come on their knees and they are given to ask and to beg the Lord for temporal blessings, then that sin shall rise up against them. To make it simple, boys and girls, and I hope that you honor your father and your mother, and that you ask the Lord to help you, that you may honor, that you may obey them. But boys and girls, when you have grieved your parents, when you have been disobedient and it has not been made right, and then you shall not have so much freedom to go to your father and mother and to ask them for a special favor. Maybe you shall even stay out of their presence a little bit. And to that end, the necessity, the value, and the importance of this word "and," that does not mean that there is no connection with the other petitions from the first, the second, the third, and the fourth. Nevertheless, in the first four petitions, then that word "and" is not found. And forgive us of our debts. Thus that word "and," that refers to the former petitions. It refers to the first, the second, and the third. But it especially refers to the fourth petition. Oh, concerning the first three, then how necessary that word "and" in our petition. Concerning the hallowing of God's name, the coming of his kingdom, and concerning the will of God. But then especially that word "and," that refers to the fourth petition. And when we may have a little impression, we have heard it in the last Lord's Day, what that fourth petition entails, then how necessary that we receive the pardoning of our sins concerning that petition. Our independency, trusting in our strength and in our wisdom, concerning our murmuring, our rebellion against the ways of the Lord, because the natural heart will never, never bow under the sovereignty of God. Give us this day our daily bread, trusting in an arm of flesh instead of in the almighty and caring hand of the Lord. We read in 1 Peter 5, verse 7, casting all thy care upon him, for he careth for thee. The Lord has a people that in beginning may learn the depth and the value of that word "and." Also concerning the gifts which have been entrusted unto them, concerning their stewardship, concerning their thanksgiving, because we are such unthankful and grateful creatures. And forgive us our debts, concerning that fourth petition. Is it ever our concern, young and old, with what we ask, what we desire, that it may come out of his right hand, that it may be in the favor of the Lord? That there are times that we are given to say, "Oh Lord, I do not really know so well what is good and profitable for me. Thou knowest my desires. Thou knowest my evil heart, and that thou dost not give it in thy anger." Think of Numbers 11. The children of Israel, as they have traveled through the wilderness, and when they became tired of that manna which the Lord so faithfully has given 6 days a week, the sixth, enough for the seventh. And then they have complained, they have murmured, and they have asked for flesh, and they have received flesh. And then we read toward the end of the chapter that when the flesh was still in their mouth, that the plague has broke out amongst them. And to that end, what a profound and what an instructional word that little word "and" is. May the Lord teach us that value and congregation. When the Lord works by His Holy Spirit, then I shall tell you that there shall not be a period behind that fourth petition. But then we learn that there is that one thing needful, that we need to be born again, that we need, as a poor sinner, to be washed and cleansed in the precious blood of His dear Son, and forgive us our debts. Of course, that does not mean, oh, this little word "and," that uncovers the hypocrite and it uncovers the Pharisee, and not to come at the throne of grace as a Pharisee, a self-righteous person, but as a poor sinner that has sinned everything away and that needs the pardoning of his sins. Our second thought, a sorrowful a confession, which is the fifth petition, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, that is, be pleased for the sake of Christ's blood and not to impute to us, a poor sinners, our transgressions. And congregation, in the time that we live in, then this petition that is missed and lacking in many prayers. And why is that? Because that godly sorrow is so missed in so many hearts, and that not only by the first time, but also in the further life of the children of God. And of course, oh, it is true, how often that those words, because we have been taught, boys and girls, right, to ask for the pardoning of our sins, how often, let us be honest, most of the time that we speak those words, it is fitting. Christ has taught us, but without a deep, without a real, without a profound impression of our great and many sins, without that godly sorrow, has it ever become a wonder unto us, congregation, that the Lord has not become tired of our prayers? I read in Proverbs 15, verse 8, the sacrifice of the wicked is abomination unto the Lord, but the prayer of the upright, that is His delight. And to that end, how necessary that we are given to ask, that we are given to pray for the Holy Spirit, that He may impress upon all our hearts those divine realities, our sins. They are so great, so manifold. Have a few poor sinners come up in this evening hour. Have there been a poor sinners, a few, that have bowed their knees before they have come to God's house or in their dwellings in a secret place, and that they have said, "Oh Lord, now in this evening hour, we hope to hear about that petition concerning our sins, and oh Lord, thou knowest how great, how manifold my sins are, and that it is such a burden. Ah, Lord, thou knowest that it is my desire. It was possible that I would never sin against thee no more. Oh, that I would live perfectly according to thy law, the Lord, as a people, that their sin causes separation, and that separation that is worse than death. And now in this petition, then it speaks of debts in Luke 11, then it speaks of sin. And what is a debt? That is something that we owe to another. And now in our text, it is true there can be debts, a sin against our fellow man. But then it speaks of our debt against the good doing, a holy and a righteous God, and that worketh that godly sorrow. Oh, that is such a blessed sorrow, boys and girls, when a poor sinner, when he may come at the throne of grace. Oh, there are times that it becomes a wonder that it is not a throne of judgment, but that mercy may still be proclaimed. And now the Lord has a people upon the earth that is burdened with their debt. Ah, they have a debt against the justice of God, have a debt against his law, concerning his honor, maybe debts, concerning promises and oaths they have made, and that debt becomes so great, and that debt must be paid. The Lord in his long suffering, then he bears with sinners, but a sin must be paid for by us or by another. Do you have trouble with that debt? Young and old, how do you live with that debt? Are you troubled therewith? Do you sometime pause and consider that debt with a realization that it must be paid for here in the time, that the justice of God, that he requires perfect obedience? Are there times that you become still under that debt, that you seek for a secret place? Ah, that you tell the Lord that debt that is so heavy, and that you have tried so hard to pay, that you are a sinner still, and that debt is only becoming greater, and death is approaching. Ah, that you are given to cry. Oh, then that word "and" receives value, and then you are given to beg the Lord, forgive us of our debts, because we have become robbers of God's glory and God's honor. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, that is, and not to impute to us poor sinners our transgressions. The word "impute," that means to put in our account. Also this past week, then if our sins have not been washed in that precious blood of Christ, then all of our sins, also our thoughts, they have all been added on our account. Congregation, what a thick volume that is becoming. are you exercised therewith? Ah, tell the Lord when you are not. Tell the Lord how it is that as a poor fallen sinner, that to be honest, that fourth petition, that we need the Lord for his help, that he may grant us many precious gifts, that he may bless us. But then appear you tell the Lord that end is very seldom, but ask the Lord to give it in this very day, not to impute to us, a poor sinners. The Lord has a people that learn that they are poor in everything, but the Spirit shall teach them that they have a rich God and that there is such a rich Savior who can save so abundantly. Thus, not to impute to us poor sinners. And we must remember the context of our catechism, that it is a child of God that has been led far, has experienced Lord's Day number 23, the justification, acquitted of a sin and a right to eternal life. And then such a child is given to speak of a poor sinner. Oh, I know it is true. When the Lord converts us, and may the Lord convert us as he has converted all thy people, then at the beginning, then we can hear that people of God speak and a minister preach that they are so poor, but then we shall not believe it, because then we are given to see such a blessedness in that people of God, that they are those chosen ones, those redeemed ones, the ones whom the Lord has favored. Thus then we see that in this answer, the instructors, they were on the right school, and not to impute to us poor sinners our transgressions, nor that depravity which always cleaves to us. Thus, then in this answer, then it is against the antinomian. They are a people that say, when you are saved, then it is not so important how you live. Think of Romans 6, the verses 1 and 2. There were people in the day of Paul that have said, shall we then sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How can we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Ah, the closer that the child of God may live to the Lord, the more of that poverty. Ah, they learn that they are so poor. They learn that it is all given good, that it all comes from above. But not only poor sinners, but that depravity that cleaveth unto us, that is against perfectionist. There have been those in the church, how it can be, cannot really understand. They definitely were not on the right school, but they have told that it is possible for a child of God to come to a place where he may live perfectly according to the law of God. But oh, think of Paul in Romans 7. I know that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to fulfill it I find not. The good that I would, that I do not, and the evil that I would not, that I do. But then he has said, that is the mark, that after the inward man he has delighted after the law of God. But then he has lamented, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? but then he was given to add, but I thank the Lord Jesus Christ, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debts. And how are we now to understand it? Of course, the Lord has a people upon the earth who has been uncovered, burdened with their debt. That is their main concern. There are times when they go to bed with that debt and that they arise. Oh, they are given to beg the Lord whether there is mercy for such a one as they are. The Lord has a people. Oh, it is blessed, it is sweet, when those poor sinners, when they may come at the Lord's footstool, when they may unburden their heart, when they may be given to weep those sweet, bitter tears, oh, to confess their sin. That is sweet. That is blessed. But what shall they experience? There's the teaching of the Spirit to teach them that confess sins, it is necessary. But that confess sins by confession, by our confession, that it does not forgive sins. For seeking souls, the necessity with that burden of sin upon your back. Oh, do not rest until you may be led to the cross of Calvary and by an eye of faith to look upon that blessed surety. Oh, upon him the Father has imputed, put on the account of Christ, all the sins of his people, and to that end the church may go free. But we have said in the context, then it is a child of God that has experienced the justification as described in Lord's Day 23. And why is it now necessary? Oh, I hear some souls think, if I would now have that benefit and that assurance, then I would be the happiest person on the whole world. But now for such a people, then in the context of gratitude, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And then it concerns the fatherly displeasure when they fall into transgression, when there are unrepented sins, and when there are unrepented sins, then such a soul shall experience that there is not that special opening at the throne of grace. Then such a soul shall experience that the Lord hideth his face. Then such a soul shall experience that they shall not hear the speaking of the Lord. Then they shall not find that delight in the means of grace, reading the scriptures and coming up to God's house. And to that end, the necessity concerning fatherly transgressions, fatherly displeasure. And when we think of James 3, verse 2, that in many things we offend all, thus then this petition in the context, then it refers to two matters concerning fatherly displeasure, and in the second place, that they may receive a new token and a new assurance of the pardoning of their sins through the precious blood of Christ. Let us first sing a Psalter 419, the stanzas 2 and 3. A mighty stream of fall transgression prevails from day to day. But thou, O God, in great compassion, will purge my guilt away. And what follows, 419, 2 and 3. The fifth petition, forgive us our debts. A significant connection, a sorrowful confession, the meritorious blood. Then by renewal, then our instructors, they are given to extol free and sovereign grace. than they are given in this evening hour to point us to that precious fountain of blood. Then the instructors, they do not give a list of conditions, it is true. When the Lord works by His Spirit, then He shall work that repentance. Because even our youth, our children perhaps can understand it, that if there is not that hating and fleeing of sin, if sin has not become exceeding bitter unto us, then there shall not be that true desire to receive the pardoning of sin. And to that end, then the instructors, they are given to point to that fountain, to that precious blood that has been shed by that precious Savior. Oh, different times see Him then in Gethsemane and Calvary's cross. Then in our instructors do not say, no exceptions. Oh, then the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I read in 1 John 1 verse 7 that it cleanses from all sin. Then Paul has written to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1 verse 15, and this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Thus, what a precious and what a roomy gospel for us and our children. No sinner too great, no sinner too black, and no sinner too vile. Oh, the Lord has said on that Passover night to the children of Israel, when I shall see the blood, I will pass over you. Oh, then in the epistle of Peter, it is called that precious blood, and that in the first place, by whom it has been shed. It has been shed by the beloved Son of the Father, who was willing to assume our human nature, who was willing to humble Himself so low. He was willing to suffer. He was willing to die. Oh, the precious blood in the manner in which it has been shed. That is that Passover lamb that He has been led to the slaughter. Oh, it is such a precious blood for whom it has been shed. And that is for sons and daughters of Adam, this congregation. There is not one in this evening that can say that it cannot be for me, because that blood, that is such a precious fountain, but it needs to be applied. Oh, it is such a precious blood for the purpose. It is for the glory of the Father, and it is for the saving of souls. Forgive us our debts, that is, impute not to us poor sinners our transgression, and that is only possible through the precious blood, the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Forgive us our debts, but congregation, that needs to take place here in our time state, between the cradle and the grave. Because if we do not receive that pardoning, boys and girls, what shall then happen at the end of our life? What shall then be our eternal dwelling place? That shall be hell. And then we have a whole eternity to ponder and to think about our debt. Then there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, but it shall not be that bitter and sweet weeping which the Lord grants unto His people, but then it shall be bitter enmity. Then we shall live out what we are, and then concerning that debt in hell, we shall only make it greater. Thus, that debt shall become greater, that shall be our eternal dwelling place. And then never a gospel preacher shall come and shall tell us, shall tell the lost, that there is a Savior that we may be saved. But then it shall be forever and forever too late. But then I hear one say, but I am lost, dead, and sins and trespasses, unable to convert myself. What must I do? Then bend your knees and ask the Lord. The Lord is not obligated. We have chosen in our deep fall death above life, but the Lord has given His precious word, and the Lord has promised to bless that word. His congregation diligently use the means of grace, and may you be given to beg. Oh, may that word end, receive true value in your life, given to realize so many blessings under the truth. We may hear what we need. We may hear of that precious Savior. And to that end, try to beg, bow your knees, young and old, and ask the Lord, oh, people of God, may we be given to beg more. That many, oh, we all need the same thing. May those first petitions, that second, it seems we live in a time that we can let our fellow man go lost so easy. What a blessing it is when it may be granted unto the children of God. Oh, of course, in the first place, with their own debt. But the church knoweth those times that the Lord grants that they may be exercised with it, that other fellow man can be even more hope for their fellow man than for themselves, when the Lord uncovers deeper and deeper our last thought, the genuine evidence. Then we read, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And then at the end, even as we feel this evidence of thy grace in us. Oh, that is the close life, an impression of what the Lord has forgiven us. All our sins, original and actual. And shall we then not be compassionate? Oh, it is true that flesh and that old man that never perishes, that is not converted, that flesh remains flesh. But the instructors, they are pointing that justification and sanctification, you know what that is, young people, justification, that is to receive forgiveness of our sins, that is asked for in this petition. But then the second part of this petition, that refers to sanctification, that means to be holy. And to that end, to feel this evidence of thy grace in us, that it is our firm resolution from the heart to forgive our neighbor. When we consider that second part, it does not say because, no, that would be works, and the church is saved by grace, And then secondly, does not say in the same manner and on par, oh, there can nothing be compared when the Lord, through the finished work of his dear Son, that he forgets his children, does not say in the same manner. Nevertheless, it is the evidence of the life of grace. We have read together, boys and girls, you have heard it, of that parable. Peter, he is asked how often he must forgive. And when we speak of forgiving our neighbor, that does not mean that justice must not be done. And that does not mean when we have stolen that we must not return what we have stolen. Think of Zacchaeus. And in the Old Testament, it is spoken of restitution with so much percent added. Thus, that does not exclude, if we think of Luke 17, the verses 3 and 4, when Peter is asked that question, then Jesus is answered when he repents. Nevertheless, that repentance is not the ground of forgiveness. And then Christ has spoken a parable that there was a very rich man, and one of his tenants, we read, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And then there was a servant that had 10,000 talents worth that he owned. That is an extreme great sum. Impossible for that servant ever to pay. And then that king says, pay what thou owest. Then he has fallen on his knees and he has asked for a little compassion. That is good instruction for us. Even with 10,000 talents of debt to be given, to come at the throne of grace, because he is a merciful God. And then that king had compassion and he forgave him everything. What a wonder that must have been for that servant. But then have you heard it, boys and girls, what that same servant has done? He also had a servant that owned 100 pence, not so much. And that servant has also asked for compassion, but he received none and he was cast into prison. And then it was told the king. And then that servant was asked to come, and then he would be punished. Simple instruction for us and our children. Forgive us and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. May that word "and," may that receive a special place in our life. Maybe we exercise therewith, young and old. We are traveling to eternity. How quickly our time goes by. We have just started the new year and a few more hours, and the first month is gone. And how has it now been with that debt? With that first month of the year, 2021? Oh, has there been a soul where that debt has become real? Where that word "end"? Oh, not to despise the temporal things, the many good things and precious things that the Lord gives us, but all when the Spirit works, then there comes that end. Then we need the forgiveness of our debts. And that is only possible, young and old. We are still up on praying and seeking ground. Oh, seek the Lord. As for that blessing which is spoken of in this petition, oh, when we consider that precious mediator, then he has fulfilled this petition. Because when he was nailed to the cross, Oh, he has done nothing amiss. He was the Lamb without blemish, no original, and no actual sin. And when they have pierced his hands and his feet, then he has prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Ah, may that petition, may that be fulfilled in a rich measure amongst us and our children, because congregation, when we are unconverted, oh, I hope you still have respect for God's word, and that you were given to ask that he may keep you from going into the world. But our debt needs to be forgiven, and that must take place here in the time we shall close what is written of Christ in 1 Peter 2, verse 23. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we may thank thee for thy help, that thou wast given strength and a few words to speak. Then thou wast granted the fifth Lord's Day of this newly begun year. And when thou granted, when thou spareth us, then the first month of this year has already run its course. Then we have all come a year closer to that final meeting with our Maker, our Lord. May it please thee to bless thy holy word. May it be granted unto young and old, that word end, that it may receive a profound meaning in the way of experience in our lives. Lord, we may commence another week. We humbly ask thee, may it please thee to graciously watch over us. Remember the mothers in the home with the children, the daytime, the night watches. Remember the unborn. Remember at school. Remember at work. Remember on the way. May it please thee to bless the labor of our hands. Wilt thou keep us from sin and temptation? Remember the catechism classes. Remember the confession of faith class. Ah, wilt thou teach unto the students that deep meaning of that word end? Wilt thou remember the members' meeting? Wilt thou gather with us? May all the male members, may they be given to realize their privilege, but also their duty and their responsibility. May the outgoing of the meeting be for the welfare of us and our children, Lord. Remember all those that have sick relatives, the different circumstances are known unto thee. Wilt thou now grant traveling mercies, bring us safely to our dwellings. Grant a prayer for one another. We are ready to leave one another. May we be given to meet thee at thy throne of grace, Lord. Do a great work amongst us. Forgive us of all of our sins, also of this Sabbath day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 83, the three stanzas. How blessed is he whose trespass hath freely been forgiven, whose sin is wholly covered before the sight of heaven. And what follows, Psalter 83, the three stanzas. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.